So can you take yourself back 2,000 years? Can you imagine yourself in that little town of Bethlehem? There on those streets, those dark streets, imagine yourself standing there. And all of a sudden, you see this baby come out of the womb of this young girl, really, and then the baby is laid in a manger, in a trough, a feeding trough for animals. Your eyes, of course, are wide in amazement. And a stranger taps you on the shoulder and says, "By the way, who is that baby? Who is lying in the manger?" Well, what would you say? How would you answer that person? See, this is a very crucial question. How you answer that person, how you answer that question, will go a very long way to understanding exactly who God is, who Jesus is, what his mission is in the world. This is a very important question. What would you say? Who is lying in the manger? Well, I want to use the verses that we just read a few moments ago from John chapter 1 and see if we can answer that question together tonight. Who is lying in the manger? And then as I answer the question with several responses, I want to suggest a personal response that each one of us can make as we answer the question. Who is lying in the manger? Well, what would you say? Well, I think the very first thing I would say is that the baby lying in the manger is God. The baby is God, the eternal God of the universe. He is the living Word. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and the flesh was Jesus, and God became flesh. You know, every once in a while, I think that we need just a basic theology lesson, don't we? Jesus Christ is God. That is just foundational to our whole Christian faith. Jesus Christ is God. Now, of course, our world doesn't acknowledge that, do they? Our world doesn't think that Jesus is God. Oh, our world may believe in Jesus, that he lived, but they would say that he's a good teacher, he's a moral man, he's worth maybe even listening to, but he's certainly not God. But I think if we were to answer this question properly, we would have to say that the baby who is lying in the cattle trough is fully and totally God. Let me introduce you to a drama that I think took place between God the Father and God the Son. The last words, perhaps, that Jesus said to the Father before he came to earth. This is from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. I have come to do your will, O God." Wow, can you imagine that? Jesus says to the Father, "Father, with sacrifices and offerings, you are not pleased. You are not fully satisfied, but you have prepared a body." And then Jesus looked at his Father right in the eye and said, "I'll take that body that you've prepared for me, and I will go and I will do your will." And we need to know that as Jesus uttered those words to his Father, that he was the eternal, transcendent, second person of the Trinity. And 1 millisecond later, he was reduced to a microscopic cell in the womb of a woman. And if we don't get that, then we don't get Christmas. And we don't understand what the story is all about. See, the world wants to reduce Jesus. They want to reduce him. In fact, they would really want to remove him, right? Just remove him. Or reduce him to sweet baby Jesus. That's all he is, sweet baby Jesus. But that baby grew up, and he became a man, and he went to a cross, and went to a tomb, and rose from the dead, and completed a mission from the Father. He took that body prepared, and he did what his Father requested. He is God, fully and totally God. Now, how will you respond? How do we respond to the fact that the baby in the manger is God? Well, for me, I said, I will bow. I will bow. I will bow, if not on my knees, I will bow in my heart, and I will praise him that he was willing to be confined and dependent and limited for my sake. I will bow and I will worship. I will worship when God's people gather. I will worship on my own, personally and privately. I will bow and I will worship the eternal God of the universe who became flesh in Jesus Christ. God is lying in the manger. What else would you say? How else would you answer that question? Well, the second thing that I would say in response to that question, who is lying in the manger? I would say that the Creator of all things is lying in the manger. That little baby is the Creator of everything. Verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Do you realize that Jesus was there? He was there in Genesis 1, before there was anything, before there was a beginning, in fact. Jesus was there, and he was creating a world of beauty and order and structure and wisdom. He is the Creator of all things. The baby is the one who spoke one word, and out of nothing came everything. He who had the power to speak the world into existence was willing to become a baby who couldn't say anything. Well, how will you respond to the fact that the Creator of all things is lying in the manger? Well, for me, I will not take the creation for granted this Christmas or ever. I will allow it to point me to the Creator in worship. I'm not going to run so fast past the God-made creation to get to the human-made creations that seem so often to be the center of Christmas. I'm reminded of Psalm 8, a creation psalm, really. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Where? In all the earth. Have you looked? Have you seen? Have you observed around you? And then there's Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Have you seen it? Do you know it? Have you worshipped him for it? Did you enjoy the snow that came this week? Well, I have mixed feelings about snow, and maybe you do too. It is beautiful, it is pretty, and that's awesome. And I'm glad it came just in time for Christmas. But I'm not a big fan. But this year, I'm going to take a walk, and I'm going to look at the snow and the trees and the animals along the trail where I walk, and I'm going to allow all of those things to point me to the Creator. The Creator, Jesus Christ, who was creating this world that we live in. And I will allow it to point to worship. Well, how else will we answer the question? Who is lying in the manger? God is, the creator of all things. And then thirdly, I would say that the hope of humanity is lying in the manger. The hope of humanity. Verses 4 and 5 say, in him was life, and that life was the light for all people. Now, when John tells us that in him, in Jesus, was life, he doesn't just simply mean a heartbeat and brain waves. What he means is that in him was life. You know, self-existent, non-dependent life. Life with a capital L, life. And that life was light for all of us. Wow. Jesus is our hope, and he meets two of our greatest needs. He is life. And boy, do we need life, don't we? Because we are people who are living under a death sentence because of sin and the judgment of God. We are in desperate need of life. And so what hope there is when we find out that in him, in Jesus, is life. The opportunity to have life, eternal life, to share the life of God life. And that life was light. Light is a symbol that's used throughout Scripture, well, for many things, but the main thing is it's a symbol of revelation. Your word is a light to my path. In many ways, we are lost, we are confused, we are ignorant. We don't know. Boy, do we need light. We need somebody to shed light on our path, to speak a word of wisdom to us that we may move forward in obedience to God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. It shines in the darkness and drives it away and gives us hope for living in these days. The hope of humanity lying in the manger. So how will you respond? Well, I will remind myself that life is found in no one and nothing other than Jesus Christ. Life is found in no one other than Jesus. There are so many voices in our culture, aren't there, who promise us life, who promise us all kinds of things. There are so many voices that are speaking that vie for our attention. But Jesus is the only true voice who can offer us hope. You know, Christmas is supposed to be, you know, a season of light. But as a matter of fact, in many ways, there is a lot of darkness for folks who are alone, for folks who are hurting, for folks who are experiencing a first Christmas without a loved one. As a matter of fact, it is a season of the year where there can be a lot of darkness and despair. And we cannot face that darkness. We cannot deal with that darkness simply by singing jingle bells louder. We need someone who can offer us hope and light and drive the darkness away. And that is only Jesus Christ. He came to our world to drive the darkness and suffering and pain away. The hope of humanity is lying in the manger. Well, fourthly, I would answer the question, who's lying in the manger, and say that the fulfillment of all prophecy is lying in the manger. The fulfillment of prophecy. In verse 6, we're introduced to John the Baptist. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And John the Baptist was the last in a very long line of prophets that go all the way back to the Old Testament. Prophets who predicted the coming of a deliverer. Prophets who announced that God would send someone to do something about the brokenness of our world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, we hear something about those prophets and what they were looking forward to. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. The prophets searched intently. They announced what they could. The prophets longed to see what we see, Christ come in the flesh. But they never actually got to see it. And this passage infers that all of the prophets stood around that stable and they said, this is it. This is it. This is what we spent our lives preparing for. This is exactly what we predicted would happen. Can you imagine Moses standing there and saying, see, I told you. He would be born as the seed of a woman in the line of Abraham. Can you imagine Micah, the prophet, standing there saying, I was the one that said he would be born in Bethlehem. And here we are in the little town of Bethlehem. Or can you imagine Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, standing there saying, yes, I was the one who said that he would be born of a virgin and that he would be Emmanuel. God with us. And there she is. And there he is. And this is God now with us. The fulfillment of prophecy lying in the manger. So how will you respond? Well, I will live today in light of tomorrow. I will live today in light of tomorrow. Be like the prophets. You see, they lived in their present moment in light of the future. They looked forward to something that was coming. Life is not found in the temporal today. It is found in the eternal tomorrow. Make decisions based on eternity. Be like the prophets. Look forward. Live in expectation. Live in hope. And make decisions and live your life in light of the future and all that God has promised us that is yet to come. See, the temptation is to live for now. The temptation is to satisfy ourselves with immediate gratification. And God says, no, no, wait. Live in hope and live today in light of tomorrow. And then finally, I would offer one more answer to the question, who is lying in the manger? And it's this. He is the one person about whom everybody else has to make a decision. He is the one person about whom all of us have to make a decision. So let me ask you. How will you respond? Verse 9 tells us that Jesus was the light and he shone his light into everybody's life. Everybody, every person has a sense of right and wrong and a holy God and their failures and their fallenness. And Christ came to shine that light, to reveal that sin and our need for him and his judgment that is to come if we don't accept it. It tells us that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many as received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So how will you respond? You see, what a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift that we have been given in the baby of Bethlehem. But before you make your decision, think about the gift. In the child of Bethlehem is the Word of God. In the child of Bethlehem is the Creator of all things. In that baby is the hope of humanity. And in that child is the fulfillment of all prophecy. You see, it's an amazing gift. We have all that there is of God in that child. We have all that there is of Him in the stable. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. On a bright Christmas morning, there was a family opening gifts, exchanging presents with each other. A father, a mother, and two young girls. One girl a little bit older than the other. And on this beautiful morning, they exchanged their gifts and opened their presents. And the two little girls were so filled with joy and gratitude, they wanted to run over to their father and give him a Christmas kiss and thank you. So the older sister ran to her father, and she got there first, and she jumped up into his lap, and she gave him a Christmas kiss. And then she turned to her younger sister and said something that was so terribly cruel. She said to her sister, "I have all that there is of Daddy. There's no room for you." And that little sister got tears in her eyes. She turned around and was ready to run away. And her father said, "Wait." And he beckoned her to come. And he opened up his arm and his other knee. And she ran as fast as she could. And she jumped up onto her father's lap. And she looked at her older sister and said, "You may have all that there is of Daddy, but Daddy has all that there is of me." And in this Christmas season, you see, we have all that there is of God. There isn't anything else that He has to give us. We have all of it. He's given us everything. He's given us His very best. We have it. We have all that there is of our Daddy. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? That's something to be proud of and to praise God for, like that older sister. But as we hear the Christmas story again tonight, in all of the depth that John tells us in these verses, there is a word yet more personal. Does He have all that there is of you? You see, we all have to respond. We all have to respond. The Word became flesh for you. What more could we ask? We have all that there is of Him. But what He most desires today is your humble and your thankful heart. Does He have all that there is of you?